Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Mixing sports and a little bit of fun.
This is fun.
On your morning drive, this is Robbie and Rex Road. With Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. On Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. And on The Game Nashville app.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do most every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, you were on vacation last week, and it really left a hole in my soul. I'm glad to have you back this week.
You know, I felt guilty. I honestly did.
You should.
But I got over it in like 3 seconds.
At least there's momentary
that
guilt.
Long.
It's a pretty long time. It's good stuff.
Well, I'm a goldfish.
That's right. Corey, we got a lot to get to with you today. Let's start on the Johansson front. So Barry Trotz comes in, his first offseason as general manager. They move on from Ryan Johansson. They retain half the salary. What did you make of that move from Barry Trotz? And how do you believe Ryan Johansson's tenure in Nashville should be remembered?
You know, I think it has to be remembered that he was a part of the reason that they made it to the Stanley Cup final. And while I don't think they got what they completely wanted out of, you know, that deal, when you give up an asset like Seth Jones, you have to give to get. They did. And, you know, the reason you get a player who was, what, selected fourth overall, I believe, and it had a 30-goal season with Columbus – the reason they're available is because, you know, there's a flaw there. And, you know, we saw the flaw, and that just hasn't been a consistent player, you know, for this team for one reason or another. There have been some very good stretches of very good hockey, and then there have been stretches of anonymous hockey. And for $8 million, you can't have anonymous hockey. You've got to have dominant play all the time. You got to have a guy you can depend on. And so, you know, I won't say, you know, it was certainly not a swing and a miss, but it was not a swing and a home run for the Preds. You know, he was a part of a lot of playoff teams and a lot of victories. I think we can, you know, nicely say that.
So what does this tell you, Corey, about where things are going from here? And just the rest of this offseason and Barry Trotz's first as GM?
Well, I mean, I like the aggressiveness of the move. You know, you found a taker, okay? Because, you know, what they had wasn't good enough. So you've got to change it up. You've got to get more. And he's got more picks. You know, we've done that. Now he's got more cap space in $20 million. He is in position to be aggressive in any way that he really chooses, whether it be free agency, trade, or the draft. You know, he's got ammunition to just about go in any direction, you know, that he wants in his first draft. And I don't think he's made it a secret, you know, that he wants to be. I keep saying I love what he had to say when he said, I can get third and fourth liners anywhere. You know, he needs dudes, and he is trying to get dudes on this team, you know, to take them to the next level.
Well, to that point, so, I mean, the draft is one thing, and you know this, Corey. I mean, it's such a different situation than the NFL draft, just because, I mean, they may draft somebody in the first or second round this week, and we might see them in a year, 2 years, 3 years, whenever it'll be. Mm-hmm. But with their roster currently the way it is, with Duchesne still here and Forsberg here and Yossi and Saros and those guys, do you think it makes sense for Barry Trotz to be aggressive via trade this offseason and try to target – maybe a higher-priced younger player to join this forward group? Or would you rather see them be patient, let the younger guys come up, and kind of leave some cap space to operate a year or two down the road?
Well, I'll put it this way. As I said with the Titans, you don't get better by getting rid of good players generally, And in hockey and in any sport, I don't see how you get worse by adding good players. Okay. I don't think it's ever a bad time to add a good player, especially a young good player that you want to be a core piece to your team. If it's the right time, I mean, if it's the time that that player is available, then that time, that's the time you go get him. I mean, you know, if Sidney Crosby 15 years ago is available, do you say we're not going to go after him because our plan is really to be ready in a year or two? No, you go get that guy. So if there's a guy that they like, that they think, you know, when they're ready to be really good in 2 or 3 years is on their team then in 2 or 3 years, and then that's great. I don't think you should, you know, reach, you know, you can't write bad contracts. That's kind of what got him into a little bit of this anyway. But if there's a guy you really like, I don't care what year it is, go get him, make him your own. If he's a guy that you believe in and you want to be a core piece, absolutely go get him now.
So, Corey, as it has been a couple weeks, I want to make sure that you get full time to enjoy, react to, discuss DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know, it's provided a lot of content here, regardless of what happens. But what is your read on that situation, where it's going?
Well, I haven't heard this, and this continues to be my thought, that he has been their plan from the jump. You know, when you heard Mike Vrabel say after the draft, you're just going to have to trust us, you know, that free agency, you know, the players are going to become available in free agency and they're going to work the cap. I mean, he laid it all out there, that there's going to be people available that they're going to want to sign and they're going to need cap space to bring in. And we know his affinity for Houston Texan players that were there when he was there. And I think he would make them a better team, and I think he would certainly make them a contender, you know, to win the division. Do I expect him to be the guy that he was 5 years ago? No, I don't, but I don't think he has to be. What he has to be is a pro and good. I continue to think that they will get him. I think that's what the way it'll end up. And if he signs with New England, it would just be for the money. And I've never known – well, look, New England's done some bad contracts. You look at the Janu contract and the Hunter Henry contract and the Nelson Aguilar contract. They overpaid for all of those guys and didn't have a plan for them. So the genius, you know, I don't know if he's willing to overpay again. But if he goes to New England, it's just for the paycheck, because they are the worst team in their division. And I know Patriot fans – listening are going to give me grief on Twitter. I don't care. You're the worst team in your division. It's not even a hard decision to make, okay, when I look at that division. And so if he goes there, and, you know, look, there's a difference between going to the Chiefs for $2 million and going to the Titans for $12 million, okay? You say, well, you could play for Super Bowl. That's $10 million, and you're going to a team that can still win its division. You know, if the Titans are offering him, I don't know what they're offering him. So say $11 million, and the Patriots come in at $12 million. I mean, that's just taking the extra million to not go to the playoffs. And so, you know, I continue to think that the relationship means something, and that there should be more belief, believe it or not, in where the Titans are than where the Patriots are, regardless of all the Patriots Super Bowls, because last I looked, Tom Brady is not there.
Corey Curtis with us here on Robbie and Rex. So it's Corey. We've been asking a lot of people this over the last week and a half. I'm going to ask it to you now. Of these three players, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, who to you is most likely back with the Titans after this season?
Oh, gosh. That is a tough question. Because I can, you know what, I'll say, you know, with their plan that it would appear to be, that it would most likely be Hunter or be a Byard or Henry. That would appear to be the most likely plan. You know, I think the question for both of them is money, and where their ego is at. I mean, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, regardless of what Byard says, that things appear a little strained. Now they can get worked out, but they appear a little strained. And then, you know, we have to see what Derek's got this year. I mean, that's just reality. I mean, he can look awesome. Like, I mean, I see the videos. He looks awesome. Well, Eddie George still looks awesome. He's almost 50. I mean, so that doesn't mean you give him the ball. Now, do I think Derrick Henry will still be a good NFL running back in 2024? Yeah, I do. But is it worth what he's going to want to get paid to stay? Because for whatever reason in the history of the league, guys have taken less to leave when their teams don't offer them as much as they were making before, except for Jerome Bettis. So you've got me in a pickle. I'll say Byard because he's the only one still under contract.
What if Henry's great? Like, what if Derrick Henry is, you know, 1,800 yards, looks, you know, he's got a better offensive line, better offense, huge production. Let's say that plays out because we talked about this too, Corey. It's like, I'm still not sure that, like, there's a great market for him out there if that's the case, you know, because that means, again, if he has that kind of yardage, it means volume carries in an offense built around him. And how many other teams out there, you know, feel like signing him up for 8 to 10 carries is worthwhile? Like, what do you think the market would be for him?
Joe, I think it's a great point, and it's what we always talk about, is that Derrick Henry's right for the Titans. And there aren't a ton of teams where he's right for them because that's the way they want to play. You know, he can go to the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's not going to touch the ball enough to get more than 1,100 yards. I mean, they're just that. I mean, they've got other guys that they're going to spread the ball around to. And, you know, the way Mike Vrabel wants to play or has wanted to play in the past, you know, and look, you win by giving the ball to your best players. And he's been a pretty darn good one as far as I could see. And as far as, you know, what if he has a really good year? Sure, it's possible. And I have said all along, I think they should extend him by a year or two right now. Lower his cap number now and bring him back for another year. You know, set yourself up. I don't think there would be anything wrong with that right now. And I think it could still happen before camp even starts.
Corey, all is right in the world with you back with us this week. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have you guys seen that it is July almost, and the St. Louis Cardinals are still in last?
I have seen that. That doesn't happen very often.
That's a real shame.
You've heard Christmas in July?
Yeah.
This, for me, is Christmas, July, and birthday, and New Year, and everything. Because more than I like teams, there are some teams I like to hate, and that's one of them.
Spoken like a true Cubs fan.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm spiteful. I'm bitter. I'm jaded. It's good.
You and Wes Rucker both just hate the Cardinals, man. Well, hate them. I
understand.
I love it.
You ever been to a game in Busch Stadium? I mean, I can understand.
There. Yeah, I've been there. The arrogance is overwhelming. You know, as I tell all my Cardinal friends, and look, they've given it to me for years, and rightfully so. Do you think in 1920, because back in the early 1900s, the Cubs were one of the dominant teams in baseball? And then they fell off. Do you think they thought it was going to be 108 years?
Probably not.
At the time? So, no. So I tell all my Cardinal friends now, I go, 108 years is a long time, and you don't know. You say it's impossible. You could be in the midst of your 108 years right now.
It could just be starting.
Thanks for those kind words, Corey. Yes.
Thank you, Corey. We appreciate it.
You know, sitting behind the glass as a Cardinals fan.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, well. I have nothing nice to
say. Thank you, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show.
What's great for the Cardinals? Yeah. I like it.
Nick just taking it behind the glass over here.
You know, the ghost of Dizzy Dean is turning over. We've had a few years of good success, and hopefully it comes on in the future.
Well, maybe so. I don't know what – I mean, the Cincinnati Reds are good.
Just second longest time.
I don't know what to do.
Longest time in the Central. 54 games.
Very spoiled fan base.
It is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back into the Ryan Johansson trade. And this week for the Predators coming up next, should the Predators be aggressive? How aggressive should Barry Trotz be? And how much of this newfound cap space should the Predators use this summer? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got a pair of tickets to give away to Monster Jam coming up on July 1st at Nissan Stadium. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to Monster Jam coming up at Nissan Stadium on July 1st. 615-737-1025. The Predators make a big move over the weekend. Ryan Johansson traded to the Colorado Avalanche. Alex Galchenyuk coming back in return to the Predators. Now, Galchenyuk is an unrestricted free agent here in about a week. And the Predators, it doesn't look like, are going to sign him. So a pure salary dump from the Predators. They will retain 50% of Johansson's contract. So that means a $4 million cap hit for the Predators for each of the next two seasons while he's under contract. And Johansson will now play for the Colorado Avalanche. So, Joe, number one, what do you make of this move from the Predators' side of things? What does this kind of tell you about Barry Trotz and his approach? And what do you make of the fit for Colorado for Johansson as well?
Yeah, well, one thing about this deal we haven't talked about a ton today is let's say that the initial talks with Colorado were just about a straight-up trade. You take his whole deal. Well, if I'm Colorado, I'm like, okay, let's talk about your prospects.
Right.
I think the only way the Preds trade Johansson's entire deal is by throwing in something of value to that team as well. So that's the thing about this that I think is really good is you get half of it off the books. You kind of continue to clarify for everyone, new core coming, like, yes, Yossi, what's the term that Trotz used in the LeBron story today? Game changers?
Yeah, game changers.
Okay, so he basically looks at the core as three people, Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros. But you were able to kind of move, continue to move toward what you want to do and see these young players. You move that salary and you don't have to give up anything. And they I don't think there's any way you trade him fully without something like that. So it's nice to be able to avoid that.
Agreed.
While doing this. And I kind of brought it up, and then we had Alex, you know, Doherty on earlier, and I the more I think about it, I think this tells us that they were going to buy him out. But I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of my guess here, is that they wanted to get this done one way or the other, found a trade partner, but if not, they were going to sign up for $2 million a year for – that would have been
– 4 more years.
$2 million over 4 years, right? Is that right? It would have been less of a cap. It would have been less of a hit on the cap, but for a longer duration.
Correct.
Still paying Kyle Turris to not be here.
They're paying Kyle Turris through 2028, which is amazing.
My goodness.
$2 million cap hit through 2028. I mean, look, it's pretty clear that Johansson's time here was coming to an end. We talked about, you know, had he remained on the team and they decided to keep him. He was walking into training camp next year with probably being penciled in on the third line and would have had to really show something to be in the top six. Not saying he couldn't have done it, but it would have been an uphill climb for him to be in the top six heading into training camp. So, you know, it's clear that Barry Trotz is going in a different direction. He talked with John Glennon over the weekend. And, I mean, the term he uses, quote, "We can wish upon a star and see if we can go one more round, but it hasn't happened. Since 2017, we haven't done much. I think it's time to create a new core," is what he said. And then he talked about Saros and Forsberg and Yossi there with that too. But it's pretty clear that they were looking to shake things up, and the younger guys are coming up, and they're going to get a shot. I also, from Colorado's standpoint, I think it's a great move. Like, you get him for $4 million. He can come in. He can be your third-line center. He can probably be your second-line center if you need him to. But at $4 million, that's way less of a big deal with Ryan Johansson as a top six forward than it is at $8 million when he's, you know, chugging up a cap hit that's that high. So, I mean, if you're Johansson, you're going to a team that is already ready-made to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, I think it's a really good opportunity for him at 31 years old.
Yeah, he should be jacked about this. I mean, he's here for a long time, and players typically like living here, don't like leaving here, but he's got a chance to do something and still be a key part of a championship team, but way less pressure on him. And yeah, I think it could be really good for him. I expect him to show up at camp in top shape, and he'll probably be one of those guys next year. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. We're talking about the league is talking a little about Ryan Johansson being rejuvenated and really helping that team. I really like it from his perspective. Sean on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, not enough is being said about how the salary retention piece is a major, all caps, departure from the Poyles regime.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, it's not something that you want to get in the habit of salary retention, because that means deals that you're making are not working out very well for you.
Right.
So, look, the Predators, I think financially, are in a good spot. They've got Bill Haslam coming in, and he's going to bring even more capital to the group. So that part of it's all going well. I think they're in a good spot that way. I mean, yes, there was a time where salary retention, they would not even entertain the idea of doing it. Now, they did buy out Kyle Turris a couple years ago, so it's not like they haven't done this before, and they've had some trades where salary retention is part of it. I mean, even Ekholm, it's a relatively speaking, almost non-factor of a number. It's $250,000 over the next 3 years, but they did retain a little bit of his salary in the trade the last February when they made that deal. But, yeah, I mean, $4 million for the next couple of years for somebody to not play for you, that's a big deal for an ownership group in the NHL.
It's different. But, yeah, I think it's a one-time thing. And, you know, you talk about departure from the Poyles regime. Remember, for most of his tenure, it was like, this guy does not do no movement clauses. He does not do it. And then, as you know, in the last few years of his tenure, he did a few.
Yeah.
So he kind of changed a little bit too. By the way, the Preds did not retain any salary from Kyle Granlund somehow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they did.
You still have to you factor that into this one.
Man.
Still ahead of the curve there.
Brady on the text line says, I find it interesting that Trotz, when talking about the core, did not mention Matt Duchene. This from Brady.
We mentioned that earlier, Brady. We talked about that.
We did. He's got 3 years left on his deal, obviously at $8 million per year. Now, he does have a modified no-trade clause that I believe is kicking in this year. And I believe that his modified no-trade clause is he can provide a list of seven teams that you can't trade him to. So it's not like it's some, you know, full no-movement clause or anything that's kicking in. I am not – I'll put it this way. I don't think it's likely that they trade him and move on from him now that they've done it with Johansson. I'm not closing the door that they could try to do the same thing with Matt Duchene.
I got it pretty close to close. First of all, like, I mean, if you did that, first of all, I think it'd be hard to find someone. You're talking about an extra year. You're retaining a lot of salary and guaranteeing a bad team. Now, I'm not saying they look great now, but to me, like, Duchene, he's not part of the core, Brady, and that's a great point, and we talked about that. But to me, it's kind of like he's still a guy who can be useful the next couple of years and can still score for you. And, you know, like, if you sign up for that much salary retention and guarantee your cheeks, like, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But I guess I can't totally slam it shut.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. How aggressive should Barry Trotz be with nearly $20 million remaining in cap space? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
I think Johansson was so clearly their best center in franchise history. It's not even close. I mean, he did things on the ice that no one else did. He advanced the team in a direction they'd never been before, that they would not have done without him. And, you know, it's going to be sad to not have him around from my perspective, just because he's so much fun to listen to and to talk with. But this is a very smart move by Barry Trotz, and now they have a lot more room to work with.
That was Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio earlier on the show with us, breaking down the Ryan Johansson trade and where the Predators go from here. And, Joe, it is interesting. You look at the cap space, and getting my figures from capfriendly.com, which is a good site related to NHL cap figures, They got roughly $19.5 million in projected cap space. So that's a lot of money to deal with. Now, they do still have to sign Cody Glass to a contract. They have Alex Carrier that's out there as a restricted free agent. So that's going to eat into that a little bit. Now, you know, I don't expect Cody Glass or Alex Carrier to get huge deals either way. But instead of $19 million, you're probably looking at 15, somewhere 14 in that neighborhood of cap space, which is still quite a bit of cap space to operate with if you're Barry Trotz. So the question becomes, how aggressive should they be? You've got nearly $20 million in cap space. You got a couple more deals that you've got to sign. Free agency's coming up on July 1st. And with the draft capital that you have heading into this week with the draft here in Nashville, I mean, you could involve yourself in pretty much any trade discussion that becomes available. I mean, you could throw your name in the hat. It doesn't mean that you have to or you need to, but they have the assets to involve themselves in pretty much any trade scenario that they want to. So what makes sense if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators this offseason? And, Joe, how aggressive do you think that they should be given the money that they now have at their disposal?
Well, very aggressive, but also I'd say specifically aggressive. So, I mean, I kind of agree with what Corey Curtis said earlier. It's like, you know, you're not going out there like, you got this space, let's use it. You don't have to use it right now. But absolutely, aggressive and looking at every avenue. And ideally right now, Barry Trotz has a couple names of high interest that he's hoping to make happen. So if there's a big trade, again, we've talked about free agent class, underwhelming, but if there's a big trade to be made and you can bring in a difference-making center or forward who has term left, who is young, who can be a part of a new core, do it. Do it now.
That's the question to me that is really interesting. Is there a centerman out there that Barry Trotz has identified and wants to pursue? We can talk about DeBrincat, and we can talk about some of these other guys that are wingers that, no question about it, could come in and could help the Predators. And specifically with a guy like DeBrincat, I mean, he might come in and be a 35-40 goal scorer for the Predators for the next 4 or 5 years, and that'd be great. But I still, if you're going to get to a point where you're competing for championships, you got to find a way to find that guy down the middle. I mean, we've talked about that a ton. We know that that's going to have to be a part of the process. Everybody's looking for that. Some people have more success at finding that than others. Predators never had it. Like, they've never had that guy. And Barry Trotz knows this. He's talked about it. So what's the best path in getting one? And how do you find one of those if you're Barry Trotz? And albeit, we've talked about it. If UC Saros is on your team, you're not going to be bad enough to pick number one in the draft. Unless you just get extremely lucky and you miss out on the playoffs and you win the draft lottery. Like, it's an unlikely scenario to take place. So if it's not going to be that, how aggressive would you be? And we brought up this possibility earlier. I mean, you could go the restricted free agent route and throw your name into the hat on an offer sheet, whether that's a Trevor Zegras or somebody else. Now, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's a restricted free agent and needs a new deal and is asked out of Winnipeg, it looks like he's going to end up in L.A. There's a lot of smoke with him and the L.A. Kings right now. If I'm the Predators, especially with the number that he's been asking for, which I believe is, according to Elliot Friedman last week, $9 million per year for 8 years, there's not a chance in the world that I would touch that contract with Pierre-Luc Dubois. So that's a perfect example of what you're talking about. Like, if the Predators wanted to, they could get in on that mix with him. I think it makes no sense. It's not a good fit. So you have to be selective at who you're targeting if you're Barry Trotz.
Speaking of the King, 6'5", 220, 20 years old, went second overall, has done nothing so far, has had a fractured ankle. Does fit the profile of, is he a guy who is going to turn into what he was supposed to be? What about Quentin Byfield?
It would be interesting. I mean, to your point, it's not gone to plan for him to this point. Now, there have been injuries that have been a part of it. I think what did he play last year? 53 games, 3 goals, 19 assists. Not exactly what you're
underwhelming.
Looking for. Yeah, not exactly what you're looking for there. So there could be a little buyer beware if that happens. I mean, what did he go? Number 2 overall, I think, is
in
what
20,
he went.
In the 20 draft, so, yep.
You know, he's still very young. You're talking about a 20-year-old. So there's a lot of room for improvement, but, you know, would a guy like that interest you if you're Barry Trotz? I mean, It's something worth thinking about.
That's and that's sort of the, you know, the unproven young. You might be able to get. I don't know. Like, I don't know how the Kings view him. The Kings may be resolved. Oh no, this is good. He's going to be the guy. Everything's fine, but maybe not. You know. So is that something you? I mean, I've thought about him in terms of a Soros deal, right? But apparently, Soros deal isn't happening. So.
Well, and you bring that up, and Pierre LeBrun has come out with a piece today at The Athletic, and the main part of it is talking about Johansson and, you know, the difficulty of moving contracts in today's NHL with the salary cap being what it is. But in that, he did say, quote, "In the meantime, all the speculation that's been out there about star goaltender UC Soros shouldn't be that loud. Trotz isn't shopping him." And this is a quote from Barry Trotz, quote, "I've talked to Soros. Listen, I got to listen on everything. What I have to do is improve our hockey team, so I have to listen to everything. My goal is to keep your game changers, your Soroses, your Yossis, and your Forsbergs. You know, these are those are game changers. Every team wants to keep 3-4 guys, and you want to build around them. We've got lots of good young kids coming. I just got to make sure that I leave roster holes available to them." That's what Barry Trotz had to say with Pierre LeBrun at TheAthletic.com. So that doesn't sound like a guy that's on the verge of a Soros deal heading into the week of the draft.
Unless he's playing chess. Maybe while the rest of us play checkers, huh?
I would not put that
Who
past
knows?
Him.
But it certainly sounds like it's consistent. It's at least consistent with blow me away or don't bother me
right.
on him, which I get. But I continue to say, if you feel good about a Scarf and what he's going to be, it's a risk. And certainly you'd be signing up for a bad team next year. I mean, Nick brought that up in a break earlier. So you're signing up for a bad team if you trade him this summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's okay to have a bad year. Like right now in the phase that you're in, if you have a bad year, I know everybody wants to make the playoffs, and you know, and it's important, and there's a business side of this too. But okay. Well, if you have a bad year and you get assets back, and you believe that you have a difference-making goaltender in Askarov for many years and a less of a cap hit and all that, you can make the case.
Well, and this fan base is in a totally different spot right now than it was this time back in January. You've made changes. You've brought in a new head coach. You've brought in a new general manager. And by the way, this whole offseason, they've told you that you need to be patient. Like, they've kind of set the foundation of, hey, this could be a minute before you get back to being competitive. So, like, this idea that And I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, everybody's got to stop worrying about next year's team when it comes to the UC Soros conversation. To me, it has nothing to do with next year. I'm not even considering next year when I think about the future of UC Soros. To me, you got to make a decision on, do you want to give him a contract or not? That's what the decision is.
Right.
It has nothing to do with next year.
Is he going to be your Pecorine, get the huge deal, and he's your guy, and then you're going to have various backups? Or is it going to be a shorter tenure for him and you're going to move on to the next really good goaltender who's going to be entry level and then he's going to be, you know, $4 or $5 million a year probably after that.
Right.
And you're going to have more flexibility because of it. Hey, if you're not sure right now that he can be Soros level of consistent play, then I understand the trepidation. It's a risk, but you look at his traits and you could make the case that he could be as good as anyone in 2-3 years.
What do you make of the offer sheet stuff? Like, if you're the Predators, and I'm just throwing this name out. Let's say they love Trevor Zegras. And we talked about Trevor Zegras earlier. He's with Anaheim. He's only 22 years old. He's been really good. I mean, the offensive numbers don't blow you away. I think he had 23 goals last year, 65 points. So 65 points in 81 games. That's good. That's really good for a 22-year-old. It's not like he's been this elite forward out there, but you can see
he's
his
pretty
ability
freaking good
when you watch him play. So how much would that interest you if you're the Predators? And maybe the route is not an unrestricted free agency. Maybe there's not a trade that you love that presents itself to you, but would you go the offer sheet route?
I have no problem with it. I mean, if you kind of drive up the number on the Ducks in the process, okay, well, who cares if they're mad?
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
Now, I mean, he's a guy who he would fit the bill of what you're trying to find. You're trying to find a long-term number one centerman. I think he's absolutely good enough to be that guy.
Now, then if you do that, you have to be prepared to pay the compensation that comes with it. So, look, I don't know what Trevor Zegras' contract is going to be, My guess is he's going to be at least somewhere in the $7-8 million range. Mm-hmm. So let's say for the sake of argument, he ends up at like 7 or 7.5. You're talking about you have to pay the contract and you have to give up a first, second, and third round pick in addition to it. That's a lot.
You got draft capital.
You do have draft capital. That's a lot. Would you be willing to do that? I mean, there's the extreme scenario where you could offer sheet a guy that makes over 10.725, and you'd have to give up 4 first-round picks. He's not going to make that.
Lord.
But that's why nobody ever does that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to give up.
If Barry Trotz thinks of him the way I do, which I truly believe, like he could be a long-term answer for you as your top center, then I think you do look at that. But maybe he doesn't think that highly of him. That you'd have to.
But to your point, if you think he is that, to me, is that not worth giving up those picks that we just talked about?
Yes.
I think it is, because you're using those picks to try to find that guy.
Sure. And you know what? You may, but you certainly may not. And I get taking all the swings you can and like he's talked about, high, you know, certain traits you're looking for and all that stuff. But this is a known commodity. Go through every draft every year. You'll find a whole bunch of people who are supposed to be this or that, and then you'll find the people who come out of the fourth round and are way beyond. I mean, known commodity. That matters.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Coming up this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, it's draft night in Smashville with myself, Willie Donick, Max Herz, and Chase McCabe, live from Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NHL Draft. NHL Draft powered by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Electronic Express, and Oil Fire Whiskey. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, it's a big week here in Nashville. Yeah, the NHL Awards tonight, the NHL Draft coming up on Wednesday and Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. And beyond the picks that the Predators have, will they involve themselves in anything else? Will there be trades that go down? Somebody's going to get traded at the draft. I'm pretty confident in that. Will the Predators be involved with it? Whether that's DeBrincat, whether that's somebody that maybe we don't even know about right now. That seems to happen a lot at the draft. I mean, I remember when the Predators traded Patrick Hornquist for James Neal straight up at the draft, and Nick Spaulding, I think, was in that trade too. And nobody saw that one coming at the summer of the draft. The draft was where the conversations at least got going on the Shea Weber-PK Subban trade as well between Montreal and Nashville. So draft is a time where general managers are all together. A lot of times we see things happen.
If Trotz just doesn't make any moves and just picks all the picks at the times and the Preds have them, is everybody going to be disappointed now?
Maybe.
People are expecting some
fireworks,
some ripples.
Yeah.
But to your point, there's big moves could be ahead after this week too.
Well, could he move up? That's the other thing. And what's the point of, I guess, maybe no return, for lack of a better word, of moving up that's worth it and not worth it? Like, let's say like you can move up to number 7. Is that worth doing? If you can move up to number 9. Is that worth doing?
I mean, it's just about how much you love the player
right
that you're targeting, right?
Yeah. I'm really interested to see that part of it, too. Justin in Greenbrier on the text line says it's going to be an odd season for the Preds. If they're keeping Saros and the other game changers, they're going to try to be competitive this season while getting younger. I wouldn't have a problem using the bloat of draft capital to get a guy that is proven and will help your team immediately. This is from Justin from Greenbrier on the text line. That is an interesting question. Like, right now, let's say they just use their draft picks. They don't make a huge trade. And it's Saros, Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi. By the way, Tyson Berry's under contract next year. Ryan McDonough's under contract next year. But I went through their forwards earlier. And of guys that are still on the team, they're paying Philip Forsberg $8.5 million, Matt Duchesne $8 million per year. The third highest paid player that's actually still here, as far as the forwards, is Colton Sissons at $2.8 million. That's pretty wild. That's a big discrepancy.
Yes, it is. They got room. So they may be fielding a very young team, you know, that you're you're trying to see who is what and how they fit in and all that stuff. And there may be a name or two that we don't know right now that are on that team that kind of changed the way the lineup looks.
So if it's
either way, there's going to be a lot of young guys out there for sure. Cheap guys.
Right. But if it is, let's say it is, they don't make any major moves. And it's the guys we just talked about and then Evangelista, Parson, Tomasino, all those guys. What is that? Like, is that a...
It's a team that can get in the playoffs. I mean, with Saros in goal, it's a team that can get in the playoffs. Like, you know, it's... But to answer, it's like, okay, what kind of season do you get from McDonough in a second season here?
Right.
Is Duchesne... I mean, Duchesne is kind of an in-between guy to me. He's Barry Trotz has now had two interviews in the last couple of days where he talked about a core and did not mention his name. That's because he really isn't part of the core, but I do think he's going to be part of this team next couple of years, and he's an important player. He's a guy who can still – he can give you 30-plus goals next year. So, you know, what are you getting from him? If things broke – and I'm really intrigued by it. Like, how much of a step can Glass make? I think Parson and – I'm really a fan of his game. What does that mean? Is Evangelista ready to come in 82 games and take the grind and the grueling nature of this league and be able to produce? I like him a lot. I think his ceiling's high.
Yep.
A lot of individual questions like that. But, yeah, I think it's a fringe playoff team.
I would agree. I mean, I think best-case scenario is you're right where you've been, which is on the bubble.
But at least you're on the bubble with upside.
Exactly. I mean,
it's space and youth.
It's a different scenario with a similar outcome, right? Like it's a different viewpoint of
it's a much more acceptable scenario.
It's a much more acceptable scenario. Like it's different, but like the max of that team to me is playoff bubble, and maybe you get in.
And if you do get in, then that's exciting because. Yep. I mean, think back to 2014 time frame. That's what you're hoping, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. And then a couple years later, all of a sudden you actually have a team that can make a run.
Neil,
I don't know. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but that's how you can kind of look at it.
Neil on the text line says the Predators should trade Colton Sissons. He's got three. I mean, if they wanted to, they could do it. He's got three more years left at $2.8 million. Like, it's not like it's a cost-prohibitive cap move.
Mr. Consistency, man. That guy's
– I don't think they're going to trade him.
Yeah, that guy's really, that guy deserves more credit than he gets for what he's been.
Now, one thing to keep an eye on, let's say they get into next year and things are, and you're going through growing pains and it becomes clear that by no means should you be a buyer at the trade deadline and you're selling, kind of like you were this year. I mean, Tyson Berry will get traded. He's got 1 year left on his deal, $4.5 million. He's an unrestricted free agent after that. He will be a trade chip next year if the Predators aren't playing really well.
Is it possible that that's Saros's time, trading deadline next year, if they're not really a playoff team? Could someone really want to ante up for him at the trading deadline?
Could.
I know I keep just begging for them to trade Saros.
Please,
him. Like, I like UC Saros. Don't get me wrong. I like the guy. It's really good.
No, it could.
I'm just saying.
No, it could. It could. I mean, it's interesting because, like, I feel like there's more – for a goalie especially, and I could be wrong on this. It's just the way I view it. I feel like there's more teams that could get in the mix for him in the offseason than there is at the deadline. Like last year, it was pretty clear L.A. was interested in him, and there's been reporting since then that has confirmed that L.A. has called about UC Saros. You know, would you have more teams interested in him this offseason than you would at a deadline? My guess is probably. But that doesn't mean that you can't get a really good deal at the deadline next year if somebody's desperate to pay it.
I mean, maybe, you know, just Edmonton and it's
– yeah.
This is it. This is the final piece, and they're going to win the cup if they can get him. Draisaitl.
We'll take Draisaitl.
Draisaitl, come on down. I'm sure that'll be
– sure, they'll be signed up for that.
The return.
We're all over it, baby. Here's Leon. How about Connor? You send Connor McDavid?
How about both of them for Saros and Askarov? Now you have two goalies.
Yeah, he can stop every puck on the earth, Edmonton.
Yeah, see?
Well, now we're all
think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Connor Holland.
I'm really interested to see what happens. By the way, the draft coming up this week, Connor Bedard going to go number one overall. Connor McDavid was asked about him yesterday, so it's going to be interesting. Joe, you're going to be on vacation for the next couple of weeks, so you're going to miss out on all the fun this week.
I am. You know, when you have a – son playing high school football, there's 2 weeks where there's not workouts. So there's
two weeks
where you can travel. And this is the first, and next week is the next. So I'll be out. we'll be bouncing around.
By the time you come back, I mean, they may have traded for a number one center. I mean, we could be talking about the Preds and win the division next year. Who knows?
I mean,
goaltender could be gone.
Hopkins could be in.
Yeah.
And by the way, Chase Burns. Could Chase Burns go from Tennessee Vol to Vanderbilt Commodore? My goodness.
I mean, I will say, since we brought that up earlier in the show, if he's going to leave, that's where I hope he goes. Just spice this thing up, man.
The spice.
I mean, LSU, Tennessee fans wouldn't like it, but it wouldn't be the same if it was Vandy.
I mean, if it's LSU, that also still feeds into, like, my goodness, are they just taking portal NIL stuff to a new level? But yes, Vanderbilt. If he went to Vanderbilt, oh my gosh!
If he's going to leave, I'm pulling for chaos.
High level of spice.
We're about chaos on this show. We need him to go to Vandy. Preds need to trade UC Saros. Titans could sign DeAndre Hopkins. Let's just get all the chaos going.
You got something for Hany Mukhtar? You gonna trade him too?
Absolutely not. No, they're gonna win the championship. Are you kidding me? The MLS Cup.
Leave him alone. Yeah, got Nick all fired up over there.
I'm loving it, baby. Give it to me.
I'm glad to know that you're a Cardinals fan and they suck, though. It makes me feel better.
Hey, that's right. You know, we're going to convert Corey from a Cubs fan to a Cardinals fan, okay?
I don't think that's going to happen. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Rex Road, enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
See you soon. Adam Vingan in for Joe tomorrow and the rest of this week. So looking forward to that. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.